Chapter 5. The Template, the Citizens League. Chartering was a win-win all around. December 1988. Creating any legislation from scratch isn't easy. In fact, it's downright hard. Up to the end of 1988, others had prepared the education reform legislation I'd authored in the legislature. Open enrollment, of course, was an initiative of Governor Rudy Perpich presented to me in a bill developed by the Minnesota Business Partnership. If I wanted to create legislation on chartered schools, I needed a template. I found one quickly. To my huge relief, a Citizens League committee formed in February 1988 had been working on some innovative ideas in education. Chartered schools was one of them. They would release their report in December. The big connector in this scenario was Ted Coldery, senior fellow of the Hubert H. Humphrey Institute of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota, now called the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. He, too, had attended the Itasca seminar. Since 1959, Coldery had worked in public affairs in the Twin Cities area as a journalist with Minneapolis newspapers. Most recently at the time, he'd served as executive director of the Citizens League. The truth is, the one person most responsible for the emergence and success of chartering is Coldery. Later chapters will reveal the truth of that bold statement. The Citizens League, for which Coldery served as executive director, is a kind of good government group almost unique to Minnesota. In 1991, an editorial headline in the St. Paul Pioneer Press called the League one of the state's treasures. The impact of its work on legislative policy was stunning. Prior to its work on chartering, the League recommended several proposals still in effect today in Minnesota: establishment of the Metropolitan Council, enactment of the 1971 Fiscal Disparities Act, a unique tax-based sharing system, the 1971 tax bill, which came to be known as the Minnesota Miracle, and yes, open enrollment in public schools. In Stephen Dornfeld's June 17, 1991 column in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, he quotes former Star Tribune editor and reporter Stephen Allness as asserting that the League has been more successful as an instrument of change than any organization in the state. If you want a breakthrough, if you want something different to happen, you don't look to the teacher groups, organized labor, or the political parties. The League is the best vehicle this state has for generating and examining new ideas. On December 15, 1988, the Citizens League released its report urging the creation of chartered schools in combination with proposals to create cooperatively managed schools and to broaden desegregation efforts. The report was the result of 9 months of work by a committee made up of civic leaders and chaired by John Rollwagen. Committee members included Coldery, Vice Chair Don McClellan, and Louise Sundin of the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers. Jody Hauer staffed the committee. The Citizens League report recommended that the Minnesota legislature do the following: authorize creation of chartered schools by the Minneapolis and St. Paul school districts in 1989 and by the State Department of Education by 1992. The schools would be open to students from other districts, but would be located in Minneapolis or St. Paul, where educational inequities were most apparent. State funding would follow the students. Transportation aid would be provided. Allow school boards and teachers' bargaining units in all Minnesota districts to make a choice between 1. Negotiating their own terms of management for individual schools, 2. Adopting cooperative management of schools, or 3. Retaining the current management arrangements. The report then laid out a series of elements of chartered schools that became cornerstones of the legislation when it finally became Minnesota law in 1991. Most of the principles are remarkably central to chartering today. Chartered schools must meet specific criteria to establish the schools as public schools and to prevent the creation of elitist schools. Schools that fail to meet criteria within 3 years or fail to design a plan to meet them are subject to charter revocation. Chartered schools must accept students of all academic achievement levels. They must meet desegregation guidelines. They must not charge fees. They must be non-sectarian. They must meet accreditation standards. Licensed educators must operate chartered schools. Students attending chartered schools will be eligible for transportation aid. Groups receiving the public school charter can set up their innovative programs in existing schools or in buildings leased for this purpose. In reviewing the Citizens League report 23 years later, I am struck by how fundamental it was to changing the entire nation's long-time traditional thinking about the delivery of education services. Their rationale included the following points. A chartered school is one granted a charter by either a school district or the state to be different in the way it delivers education and within broad guidelines to be autonomous. It need not be a school building. It may result in several schools in one building. It is the process of schooling and not the building itself that will differentiate a chartered school from a conventional one. The chartering concept recognizes that different children learn in different ways and at different speeds, and teachers and schools should adapt to children's needs rather than require children to adapt to the standard system. Doing better necessarily implies the boldness to do things differently. The report also gives a clue as to why chartered schools happen to arise first in Minnesota out of all the states in the union. Most recent efforts at education reform throughout the nation are based on requiring the same system to meet tougher new standards. Minnesota, in contrast, has taken an incentives and opportunities approach, giving schools a reason and a way to become better. The state should cling to this Minnesota difference. In presenting the report at a press conference, Committee Chair Rolwagen focused on a great sense of urgency facing Minnesota and the education community. As quoted in the December 16, 1988 Star Tribune, Rolwagen said, "This doesn't work. We face draconian measures because we're reaching a crisis point. We feel chartered schools have the potential to achieve change rapidly." Rolwagen believed that chartered schools would generate in-school camaraderie, enthusiasm, and creativity the present school organization usually did not allow. Some in the education reform community, like Joe Nathan, did not think the report went far enough. Although not a member of the task force, Nathan had pushed task force members to espouse the notion of chartering outside the school system and of more flexibility in exchange for greater accountability. Nathan didn't agree with the approach of starting only with schools within Minneapolis and St. Paul school districts. Nathan also disagreed with some of the requirements or elements set forth by the Citizens League. One such requirement he found worrisome was the need to meet desegregation standards. In his 2011 interview, Nathan explained his point of view. "We had some fabulous schools all over the country that were mostly people of color." He specifically noted Cy Fleagle's Harlem schools. The response from district administrators to the Citizens League report was to be expected. Robert Ferreira, superintendent of the Minneapolis School District, was quoted in the Star Tribune article. "The concept of chartered schools is not something I'm opposed to if the public schools don't work. But before one says the public school system doesn't work, it has to have the resources it says it needs to fulfill the results the public says it wants. There's nothing magic about chartered schools. There's nothing there that we couldn't do in public schools." These comments illustrated both the wide gap between points of view as well as the difficulty of the road ahead. On one hand, Rolwagen, the committee chair of the Citizens League and a business executive, saw chartering as a response to a crisis in education. On the other hand, Ferreira, the urban school district superintendent, saw it as a solution in search of a problem that didn't exist. According to Ferreira, If the public would only provide the needed financial resources, public schools would be just fine. As a policymaker who was a product of public schools but not an educator, my point of view came down somewhere in the middle. This idea for chartered schools wasn't about responding to a crisis in education. This wasn't about criticizing the good work that public schools were doing. Instead, it was about stimulating new ways to meet the needs of children and families that the current public schools were simply not meeting. Some kids were falling through the cracks. For me, chartered schools were about the freedom to become innovative and to create new ways of helping our children learn. They were also about unlocking the creativity of our teachers so they could try new ways of teaching. I was certain that if we unlocked that creativity, all schools in the public system could benefit. To me, chartering was a win-win all around.